You are listening to the Live from Irish Arts Centre podcast, bringing you closer to live Irish arts in New York City. For more information, visit irishartscentre.org.
Adventurous and exciting and emotional. You are in for a treat. You have chosen well, and we are so thrilled that you're all here to join us. 2 years ago that I had the opportunity to hear Camille for the first time, and I have been looking forward to this night.
For those of you who haven't seen me, good luck. Nervous laughter.
I've known a lot of performers have come through and have talked very highly of it, but my personal connection comes through Nick Quaife. But when I met him 2003, both kind of starting our careers off, he put me on a swing in the Market Bar in Ireland and launched me up high above the crowd. And we became friends then, and really, I suppose it's been a contact that he's always, you know, said, please come and perform, and it's something I did want to do. So then he introduced Aidan Connolly, who runs the Irish Arts Centre, and he came to see me last year, and so the ball started rolling from there. So it's really nice because it's like you're coming to meet new people in a venue, but also there's some history there of two people who kind of at the beginning of their careers crossing paths again, you know, friends. But it definitely is a first for the lovely Irish Arts Centre. You know, in the Irish Arts Centre, you have a great family, but it's so intimate. And that's a kind of a, we rarely do intimate. So, you know, you can't really hide much on stage. And audiences are going to know if you're being false or not. So if you kind of, you've got to be really true and present. And, you know, you're so close to them. There's something really amazing about stepping up from the massiveness of this city, then into the intimacy of this theatre space, and then meeting them afterwards. So it's quite intense, you know. It's an intense experience to visit the city, but, you know, the whole thing of performing and stuff too. Yeah. We have these old vintage dresses that I had worn over the years that don't fit anymore, and I hang them, and that used to be just the dresses spinning in midair, and then we put lights in them so you can indicate to light them during the show, and then we have this beautiful mirror ball hat so you can, and a little suitcase with Tom Waits inside that you open and he speaks. Tom Waits always has some type of magical world going on, and he does it himself. Like, I mean, he's very inspiring for the world he creates. So it's always kind of like storytelling from the past. He'll either do the most beautiful lullaby or the most crazy, you know, darn, the world is falling apart kind of song. Yeah. So it's supposed to, little things like in these shoes, the red sparkly shoes, so small little things that add. Always like the notion of kind of you could change your costume, take your hair down, take your shoes off. Yeah. I think Mac, who did the lights and stage, did a beautiful job here. The intimacy of being able to have a little vignette where you change the you know, he did those beautiful kind of vintage bulb droplets that are over the audience. Yeah. Like, those things are magical. You know, it's like going to, we do gigs sometimes in churches, and they'll go, do you mind if we put candles up? And you're like, what? Of course. Those things, it's kind of, you want to make believe for the audience, yeah. You know, something special for them. Never mind the kind of stuff that I do. Like, you know, you could see the faces, like, you know, in the front row, what? I think from having a mum who was into kind of the music of Jacques Brel, and a father that's into the Beatles and Rolling Stones, a sister into David Bowie, that kind of thing of hearing incredible kind of songwriters and very emotional songs too, like the Brel stuff, like French, Belgian music, you're kind of like discussing quite kind of tough subjects, you know, death, abuse, love, sex, everything. And it was quite, I was quite taken aback by that kind of singing, where it was really heartfelt, emotional kind of singing. And then that kind of led later to my own record collection and Nick Cave and, you know, Tom Waits, which is kind of left of centre, kind of looking at life in a kind of a different way. The style that I suppose I like is Cabaret with a K, which is the German stuff, which is quite, you know, quite tough, can be quite funny, but also quite kind of unnerving for the audience. So people mention kind of a chameleon-like quality on stage, where you switch quite quickly. It's really about investing probably a therapy for myself on stage to understand, show the vulnerable side of you, show the tougher, the angry, the male, the female. So it's a mixture of many things, you know, maybe a love of that cabaret kind of singing, the rock and roll, the theatre. So definitely it's all influences across the board, you know, but took a long time because Ireland is the land of kind of great singer-songwriters. Probably this unstable life of touring around and being like a bit of a gypsy and going from city to city. It was a destiny in a way, but it wasn't a destiny until I had something pretty massive happen in my own life. I suppose sometimes when I get nervous of stuff, and that a lot of performers do, and you just go, those years ago when I was doing the architecture, and then you say, look, you know, this was, it's sometimes you're tired, you go, this is what you wanted to do. And you do, once you're on the stage, you love it. It's just the hours before that, yes. You start kind of, you know, unraveling, going, ah. The architect is always still in you, like you're wandering around New York seeing amazing things, just passing the Grand Central Station today and, you know, walking on the High Line, and, you know, so it always is there. Probably actually use my mind as an architect, as a singer, a lot of musicians tell me. So it's still kind of part of it, just in how I approach shows, just kind of because I wasn't trained as a musician or singer. So if everything goes belly up, I'll just go back. Please give me a job.
Through the door. I know you're like, whatever, I'm not into that, I'm into dogs, you'd be meowing the whole way home. If you're feeling,
you know, as vulnerable as you can be on stage, you're quite open, and it's not about just singing to yourself. Like in this kind of show, I talk about, you know, there's this word called the fourth wall in theatre and music, where the fourth wall is essentially the wall between you and the audience, which you usually don't step through when you're acting on stage and sometimes when you're singing. But in this kind of, if you wanted to refer to kind of like the notion of intimacy, you know, and the idea of the old German cabaret stuff, is that you talk to the audience, you're very much in connection. Yeah. So that's what you're thinking when you're going down the street, you're talking to yourself, but you're talking to people in the sense of like, how do I get that story across? And then like very sad songs like Look Mommy No Hands, which is one of my favourites I heard from Agnes Burnell, you know, very kind of sad songs. You're kind of like, you're already, your legs are trembling, you're about to fall over yourself because the song still moves you. And when a song doesn't move you, you just throw it out of the set because the audience will kind of go, I don't believe, or whatever. It was until I heard kind of that music, I realised, well, that's the kind of music I want to sing. You're becoming like 12 different people on stage. Wow. You don't know who you are at the end.
Look, mommy, no help. I'm riding the roundabout.
like being a child on stage. You've just got to unlock the audience a little. But you know they're shy of it too. And yeah. I would be shy too. Like, you know, I think people kind of presume what performers like, yeah, I want to be on stage. Half the time you're like, no, I just want to sing in my living room to myself. But yeah. you need to find a way to... It's kind of a joyous experience that you need to unlock things for the audience. So I suppose it's like little theatre pieces or something like that. And I think that surprises them sometimes too, because they're trying to work that out in the first three or four songs. You know, you bring the bird out and you can see them going. But then you see them softening too, because they're like, okay. She's completely, yeah, we could be mental too.
We can let go a little bit.
Drink a bottle of wine, you'd be grand.
We make a little history, baby. And every time you come around, come sail your ships around me.
Thank you for listening to the Live from Irish Arts Centre podcast, bringing you closer to live Irish arts in New York City. For more information, visit irisharts.org.